And welcome to the very first episode of the Free Minded Podcast. I am your host, Nathan Weiss. I am a music composition major here at Fort Hays State University with an emphasis in audio production, with a dream to write music for myself and others professionally. On this podcast, we will be covering all things music pretty much, and along with culture, media, entertainment, having guest interviews, and many more fun subjects to come. On our very first episode, ladies and gentlemen, we will be doing our very first interview with a wonderful friend who is here before me. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome FHSU's very own Tarius Henry. What's up, man?
How's it going? How are you?
I'm so stoic. I am so excited for this because I've been wanting to just sit down and just have conversations with just people that I've just wanted to talk to for a long time. And you were just so happened to be one of those people, man.
Oh my gosh. I'm honored. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. So how's your day been?
Pretty good. What did I do today? This morning I had class at 10:30. But I got here at 9:30 to get some treatment for my knee. And then I had work at 11:30, which I was a little late too, because I kind of messed up with my scheduling. Yeah, worked till 3 o'clock and then had weights at 4. And then, yeah, got some food.
Busy
and now
man.
I'm here. Yeah.
Busy man.
Bit of a busy day.
So for many of you who don't know, I know Tarius. I'll tell you guys how I know Tarius. I know Tarius through a particular place that we both work at. And that is Walmart. Yes. Of Hays, Kansas. Now, he could probably agree with me on this. I think this is honestly one of, like, at least top three, like, places to work while you're in college.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially with what we do, stupidly easy.
So,
I mean, it's so easy. Our bosses are so laid back most of the time. But no, it's just great pay for, you know, doing the easiest things. And it's and him and I work in the online grocery department. Yes. And we've made a lot of good friends. I've made a lot of good friends just at work, and I usually don't, but with my time being here is what we call our greatest years. I've definitely made a lot of friends there, no, for sure. I mean, like, yeah, I've made great friends with, like, Ariana and, like, Desiree, and, like, I've known Ellis, mm-hmm, who also goes to school here. I've known him for, well, ever since we lived in the dorms together. So it's like him and I really hung out with a lot of people, like, from here at Walmart. Shout out to Leo Dalton from Cap 2. But all right, enough of that, man. Let's talk about you. So, Tarius, why don't you just tell us a little about yourself, like, where you're from and what's your major, and tell us about your sport, man.
So like you said, my name's Tarius Henry. I'm from El Paso, Texas. I am a senior here at Fort Hays. This is my sixth year. I'm majoring in teaching and coaching, K-12. And I also wrestle here for Fort Hays.
What made you want to teach?
I don't know. I always knew that I wanted to coach. When I got here, I was really indecisive about what I wanted to do. But I just knew, like, I loved wrestling, and I always wanted to keep that a part of my life. And so I met with a few advisors my first few years here, and they kind of directed me towards HHP, teaching, coaching. So, yeah.
Nice. And I assume you've always – have you been wrestling since, like, middle school or high school?
I started wrestling in seventh grade.
Seventh grade, yeah. So middle school. Nice.
Middle
nice.
School, yeah.
Yeah, I remember there's this one guy. If you ever listen to this, shout out Houston Griffiths, a good guy that I used to be – decent friends with in high school. He would in eighth grade, he would play basketball and wrestle at the same time. He would get done with basketball practice early to go to wrestling practice.
Dang.
And I was just like, bro, what? I'm just like, well, I mean, like, fortunate enough, like, meets and games were not on the same day, so it's, mm-hmm, yeah, it's just
that's crazy.
Yeah. And oh yeah, he was a big dude, so
yeah.
So he played center, which is, like, the biggest position you play in basketball, pretty much, like, the tallest position, at least. And then, yeah, he wrestled. Have you done any other sports besides just wrestling?
No, just wrestling.
Just wrestling.
Awesome. I did try out for baseball my eighth grade year because I moved schools after my seventh grade year, mm-hmm, and that district didn't have wrestling, so I wanted to keep busy. But I tried out for the team, and I didn't make the team.
Oh, man. and then he made his MJ story.
Yeah, anyone who knows me knows, like, that's not a surprising thing because I cannot thrower catch to save my life.
Yeah, man, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, like, I thought I was, like, freshman year of high school, I thought I was going to work my hardest to go to the NBA, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I had this dream passion of playing for the Kansas Jayhawks, the one team that my dad and I grew up, and my brother Derek, who got me into sports in the first place, got me into basketball. I literally just thought that I was going to be set coast clear, like, to just play basketball. Mm-hmm. But the problem was that I taught myself. And when you teach yourself these things, you know, and not playing so much with a team all the time, it's kind of a drag a little bit. And I found that out immediately when I didn't make the team freshman year. Mm-hmm. I didn't make the team my seventh grade year, but I did make it eighth grade. But the coach was very hesitant about it. And so I was like, maybe it is a sign that I should move on to something else. And thankfully enough, Lord willing, you know, I found singing. Mm-hmm. In eighth grade to be like the thing, because it was kind of like this Troy Bolton story a little bit, where it was like in eighth grade I was choosing between choir and basketball. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know, but literally, like, the opportunities came, like, one by one with singing for me. So it's like the high school choir director of Salina Central, Mr. Holmquist, he came in eighth grade and was like, I've heard a lot about you. And I was like, yeah. And like some of the, like, the seniors that when they were doing like recruiting, basically they came up and talked to me first and foremost. And I was just like, I was like, dude, it's like, I feel like I'm being pulled in. Like,
yeah.
I was like, how do they even know me that much? If I haven't even, like, seen them before. But yeah, it's like, I really started to notice like my talents, you know, right then and there, like the summer between eighth grade and freshman year. I was just like, I'd know what I should put my heart towards, mm-hmm. but I wanted to see if I could still make basketball a thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't try out for the ensemble of high school my freshman year because I wanted to see if I could make the basketball team. I didn't. Theater director comes in one day and he's like, hey, heard you didn't make the basketball team. Like, I was defeated by it. I really was.
Yeah.
And he was like, I got openings for our play, for our musical, if you want to do it. And I was just like, sure. The rest of that was history for me. I mean, just like, I've had a lot going from then on. Like, everything was just, it was coast clear from there with music. But did you feel like that with wrestling? This, like, say, like, what did you realize that you just wanted to just keep wrestling?
So the way I first got into wrestling, I watched a lot of WWE when I was a kid.
Oh, of course.
And so I thought it was like the same exact thing. I remember showing up to the first day of practice and I was like, where's the wrestling ring? Like, I just saw Matt. So I was like, okay, I guess. And so, I don't know, it was definitely foreign to me because as a kid, I was kind of, like, chunky. I never really worked out that much. Like, my dad, he would always try to get me and my brother in the garage, like, early mornings on the weekends, and, I just wasn't having it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I always struggled with, like, fitness. But I don't know, wrestling, there was just something about it that, like, kind of captivated my attention. Like, there's nothing, I think just the amount of focus and, like, dedication it takes to be where you want to be. And, well, at the time, that's something I later realized. But at the time, I really just like slamming dudes on the mat, like just how it sounded, taking them down. But yeah, later on, I learned to just love like the grind for it and just how much work you got to put in to be where you want to be. And yeah.
Dude, that's so awesome. It was when you're talking about how you felt like WWE was doing have you seen Diary of Wimpy Kid?
Yeah.
Like the movie, first movie. Remember the first movie where Greg Heffley literally thinks that like wrestling tryouts in middle school
was, that was me.
WWE.
That was me.
Coach gave him a fat reality check and was like, that is fake wrestling. No, but that's awesome. I think there comes this boiling point where like we truly realize that like that's the fire in our heart. That's like, okay, yeah, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and that was the case for you, obviously, right then and there. It's just that, like, you know, you didn't think what you thought it was, but then like the more you got into it though, through experience and through trial and error, you know, you made it to that point. Yeah. And that was just kind of the same thing with me with music. So and stick with music, I wanted to ask. We've talked about a little bit of this at like Walmart and stuff, but I actually want to go in depth with a little bit of this because I listen to music all the time, man. I just got to know, man, like, what do you like to listen to?
I know this is a very cliche basic answer, but anything that sounds good, like my my music taste is all over the place. Like a few of my teammates, sometimes I'll get on the aux when we go in the room, mm-hmm. and like it'll just be all over the place. Like, remember our heavyweight Raya was like, dude, your music's like all over the place. Like, it's rock and then country and then pop. So yeah, really anything just sounds good. Are you meaning like specific genre?
Oh, no. I'm just asking, just like, what do you like to listen to? Because like, yeah. I like it when people go abroad or in depth with, you know, with what they listen to, even mm-hmm. if it is anything. That's totally fine. Yeah. Is there a specific artist? I know we talked about Sabrina Carpenter.
He knows this one.
Yep. I know we've been talking about Sabrina Carpenter, which by the way, I did listen to that album on
it's
the
so good.
Yeah. My girlfriend Kylie and I, we listened to it on the way to the Denver airport. We were going to her friend's wedding, mm-hmm. and it was not what I expected.
Really?
That's not what I expect. Like, I want to say something about her. She has, it's almost like she has this thing where she's kind of made her own brand with her voice.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is like there's I think in Taste, I think it is. There's like a she does this like aha like that or whatever. Yeah. That it like that is just like I don't hear that anywhere else really. Like at least all the music that I've heard in my lifetime, like I've never heard, like it's almost like a producer tag, like uh-huh. you know, like Day Trip Ticket to Tent, like that, or like a got Metro Boomin there, whatever, like that, like a producer tag basically. Mm-hmm. Like when people brand themselves like that, it's so cool to me because like they're not following in so many footsteps.
Yeah,
but I mean, like me personally, when I'm writing music, like I try not to focus on that too much. I just try to just be as original as I can. We all try as writers and producers. But going back to Sabrina Carpenter now, that album, like, it just caught me by surprise because there is this, you know, that this album is not meant for anyone that's below the age of 18.
She definitely has some. She has some. I don't know if I call them jokes. I say innuendos.
It's like, if you're an adult, you would understand the references that she's.
You just gotta listen to it.
It's a lot of sexual interpretation involved in this, but you know, we don't have to go down that route.
Go listen to yourself.
Just go listen to yourself for real. No, but I think honestly though, listen to that whole album. I was listening to a lot of different things. I mean, like, you know, she pitched us, you know, Espresso and like Please, Please, Please.
Yeah.
One very modern pop sound, being Espresso,
mm-hmm.
and then you listen to like, Please, 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 and it sounds like it kind of reminds me of Dancing Queen,
yeah,
a little bit, like just those synths and like the majestic melodies going on with the instrumentation. It's like there's a lot of variety going mm-hmm. on in this album. I mean, like, there was one song that was kind of westernish. I can't remember which one it was, but
Slim Pickings.
I think it was that.
That one I
kind of caught onto a little bit. I just remember that specifically. Mm-hmm. Where I was driving, I think we were passing Lyman in that song. So pretty fitting. But I think I'd rate that album like a solid. I think just listening to it once, a solid like 7.8 out of 10.
7.8.
I don't listen to a lot of pop though. That's the thing. Yeah. I'm doing my best to become like this multi-genre guy, and it's just like I just don't listen to mainstream that much.
Yeah, you like alternative.
Yeah. So yeah. I like a lot of all alternative. I'm very indie guy. I like indie pop, indie rock, indie folk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are kind of like the three genres that I've been kind of listening to a lot and taking a lot of inspiration of too, lyrically as well. But, But it's like with this modern pop now, like you got these three queens of pop right now. You got Chappell Roan, Sabrina Carpenter, and Charlie, XCXX or something like that. She's the one that sings like I love it.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah, that's her. Oh, like those three are like they were like top three on the charts for like a good solid couple months, like even during the summer. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I saw a post about it, but yeah, like it's one thing to listen to a Taylor Swift album that like just dropped. Like she dropped Tortured Poets Department, and I, you know, having a girlfriend who's a Swiftie, kind of forced myself to listen to it at least.
Yeah.
It's a difference between that, you know, something that I'm like already used to now versus, you know, something like Sabrina Carpenter, who I'm like, you know, most people will be like, oh, this is just trying to be Taylor Swift, when like I'm a very patient listener. I will listen to an album through its entirety lyrically. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that there's a story. I love stories.
Yeah.
So if there's a story behind everything, then it makes sense. I mean, like, I feel, you know, not saying that Travis Scott doesn't make it, doesn't make stories with his music, but I'm sure Sabrina definitely does. Feel free to cough, bro. It's totally okay.
I just want to do it in the mic.
No, you're good, man. You're good. But yeah, I just feel like with Sabrina's album, I think I'll definitely listen to it again. See if I change anything. Once again, that was on the road. Yeah. And you know, when you're so focused on the road, but at the same time, that's when I like to listen to music though. Mm-hmm. Is traveling.
I feel like that's when you listen to it like better almost.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. A lot of people do. And like I said, everyone's a different type of listener. I'm a very proactive, very patient listener. Mm-hmm. Like I will listen to it once, say how I feel about it, and then I will listen to it again a different day. You know, compare moods that I was in, honestly, to listen to it. And I think Sabrina's album was pretty good. I think it was pretty good in terms of pop industry critique. I think everything that she did on the album was top tier up there. Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, like if I had to compare it to Gracie Abrams' album, like her new album, I think it's called Story of Us or whatever. I don't know. Do you know who Gracie Abrams is? Okay,
no.
She was kind of under the wing of Taylor Swift when she was on Taylor Swift's on her tour.
Uh-huh.
She was at Kansas City actually when I went to the Eras tour. Funny enough.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
How
I
was
did.
That?
Dude, that's a whole other story. But like Gracie Abrams, she performed like an opener for her, and then they ended up writing a song together. I absolutely hate it. I listened to that whole album, and then I went online to like critique reviews of like certain of like her album.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness, people dogged on that album. Dang. versus Sabrina's. They give Sabrina's this, like what in the world is that website called? It's like one of the most famous critique websites. I don't know, but a lot of people go to it to look at critiques.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina's album was like a solid 8 out of 10. Like, that's good. That's very like that. Like that. That's good. Like
sounds
good.
Pretty good.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And like even my favorite artist, John Bellion, who I almost religiously listen to like almost every day. You know, I don't look at his critiques because it's like that's just like my diehard. Like I don't care if anyone else doesn't like him. It's like like dude, I was like, dude, like I see him as this like figure that I look up to. So
no, I get you.
But yeah. Okay. What else is I gonna talk about? What is your how much, you know, this might be a stupid loaded question, but like how much adrenaline are you taking in from music before you wrestle or like before you work out? Like what sets a difference between when you're just working out without music and working out with music? Cause I want to kind of ask a lot of athletes this, like
working out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever, at least not in a while, worked out without music. Like even like during practice, we'll have music blasting like through this giant speaker throughout the room. And then whenever I go lift on my own or do cardio, I'm always wearing my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's been a few times where like my headphones have been dead. And I don't know, when you're working out without music, it's just, It's so dry. Like, I'm thinking about everything that I shouldn't, like how tired I am, like my breathing, mm-hmm. like how much more left I have to go. Versus with music, I'm still thinking about that stuff, but it's like, it's more enjoyable. Like, the music kind of gets me through it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as before match, I don't know. It kind of depends on the mood that I'm in. Like, usually I used to listen, like hard rock before a match, like to get amped up. But nowadays I listen to like pop music, like something fun, like something I can sing along to just to calm myself down. Cause I feel like sometimes I get too much adrenaline just in general from the tournament and the excitement from competing. So it really just depends.
Yeah. I want to do this experiment where I want an athlete to just try working out for at least 30 minutes without music and then comparing it to...
It's a tall task.
Yeah, no, it's a very tall task because then you can really... This is going to determine a lot of things. I mean, especially with homework. Should a lot of people be listening to music while they're doing homework, or should they just work in complete silence? You know, it's like... I did a project on that for my speech class a couple years ago, and I was just like, I feel like... lo-fi music, like just beats without, just with all instrumentation, no lyrics, you know, just these instrumental vibes, you know, really kind of bring a lot of clarity to the brain, my opinion. There's a lot of science behind it. I just haven't looked into it that deep, but I know from personal experience that when I'm listening to just instrumental music, like not just lo-fi but like classical music, like Beethoven, Bach, you know, all of them, that like I'm still able to focus with not having to listen to just hearing someone. In my audio production class, funny enough, we're talking about sounds and noise. Complete difference between the two. Mm-hmm. Noise is this unwanted sound, basically. And so like when I'm listening to instrumental music, I'm taking noise completely out, which is a voice, basically. Like, that's unwanted when you're listening to instrumental music.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put, like, a rock voice in a Beethoven. I'm sure a lot of people could if they really tried.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's unwanted sound. And so it's like, that's something I want to challenge a lot of people is try doing homework without music and see how you like it. Mm-hmm. Try doing it with music, see how you like it. Try working out without music or with or without and see which one you like. And it's just like me personally, dude, I just got to have music like with everything I do.
Yeah.
Like I wish we could listen to music at work, not having to listen to Walmart radio, bro.
No. Management.
Like seriously, like, I know, but that's all another thing. But yeah, like, but that's just like my thing is that I think with how our generation is and how everything has been over the last, honestly, the last 15 years or so, or at least since early 2000, music is just so heavily involved in just everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially with sports. Because, you know, you look in the 80s, that yeah, they had cassettes and they had, like, the, you know, the headphones that they could take with them when they went on a run or a walk.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, with how everything is now with technology, it's just so easy access now to variety of different types of music and just different types of ways. And I just feel like athletes need that adrenaline. They really do need that boost of energy, not from an energy drink, not from, you know, of course, yes, electrolytes and all that, you know, all the good stuff that comes with energy, but more so what comes into the mindset and heart.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like music really just translates that into your guys's, you know, work ethic and your guys's passion and your overall just willingness to just do these things. And so it's like, I feel like without music, dude, like entertainment industry wouldn't be anything. That is, I'm going to preach that till the day I die. So, all right, I'm going to move on to the next question here. Did you have any big inspirations growing up? It doesn't have to be, like, specific people or just be, like, a show you watch that you grew up loving that inspired you or just, like, or maybe it is a person. Like who is someone that really drove you just growing up?
I don't know if I ever had any big inspirations. Just because I don't know. I never really knew what I wanted to do when I was growing up, like with my life. As far as role models, I'd probably say my parents, if that's that
would count. Yeah, like or maybe just like, let me reshape the question. A bigger influence, you know, who was probably maybe it was a coach. You know, let's say for instance, which I assume, you know, a lot of coaches have really pushed you and really just motivated you to keep doing what you're doing, because dude, every time we talk about wrestling at work, dude, just like, you know, it just seems like that you are accomplishing a lot more than I feel like, you know, a lot of people think, and it's just like, that's cool. So yeah. So would you consider your coaches to be like bigger influences on you?
Yeah. Especially at the college level, because you know, both of my coaches I have now, they're awesome. Like, they're just uplifting and have instilled a lot of confidence in me, so I just kind of feed off of that. Mm-hmm. Put it towards my training and my living. Mm-hmm. yeah
I mean, like, I like at least I'm gonna go back to the sports side of it. When I was doing sports, I mean, like, I my biggest influence, honestly, in terms of sports was my brother Derek, who I mm-hmm. mentioned earlier. He really just drove a lot of that wise energy in me, you know, in the last name. But it's just because there's this thing that just runs in this family of like determination, just like never giving up. Like, we never give up on anything that we do, really. I mean, like, I didn't give up on basketball. I just realized what I was good at. Yeah. And my parents really, you know, drove me to that. But my brother always taught me that he's like, whenever we're in practice for basketball, he'd be my coach a couple years. He'd be like, Nate, it's all about the little things. You know, if you can perfect those, the bigger things are just going to look even easier. Mm-hmm. You know, if you
very
can,
wise.
Very 100%. I mean, like, literally, I'm going to keep saying it till the day I die. Like, you know, it's just so wise.
fitting.
But for real though, you know, you can't dribble like Kyrie Irving, one of the greatest ball handlers in basketball, you know, off the bat. You know, you got to practice. You've got to continue to keep doing. You have to continue to keep doing little things. Dribble with the right hand for like 100 times and switch to the left 100 times. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't dunk without working on your verticality and, you know, your leg strength and, you know, just learning to explode. You know, it's progress. Everything comes with progress. You know, you just don't get these type of talents off the bat. I mean, like, of course, if you're born 7 feet, you know, by the time you're in sixth grade, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, if you're not born with something but you're very passionate about it, you know, there's got to be some type of drive. And that drive for me was my bro, you know, because my brothers just always pushed me no matter what. My mom's side, dad's side, didn't matter. And, I just feel like, you know, especially with sports, there's just a lot of influence just kind of everywhere for everyone, you know, whether it's someone influenced, you know, themselves to do it, because like I said, if I would have been in that same position as you, but let's just say with basketball, I would have influenced myself, you know, just based off of, you know, teaching myself.
Yeah.
You know, learning from my mistakes. I grew up independent. I grew very independent. Only child between mom and dad, but I had all half siblings.
Yeah.
But just the reason why I asked that, Tarius, as to, you know, who's your biggest inspiration growing up, it's just that, like, I at least know with a lot of, like, creators more so, you know, a lot of those type of people I will be talking to on this show. Mm-hmm. Will have some type of inspiration that they had growing up, or some type of bigger model that they looked up to, or, you know, just a bigger influence. So that's why I asked that to a lot of people, and I think I'm going to continue to ask that to a lot of people, is that, you know, I hope it's not too loaded of a question. I mean,
no, you're good.
You know, because it's like, it's either straight up yes or no, but yeah. right, let's move on to the next question, man. What are your plans after college?
I don't know. Right now, I'm just trying to get through student teaching because that's kind of something I've been not stressing about, but just been kind of very determined to complete and just kind of excel at it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I know I definitely want to get out of Kansas.
I do too, man. Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, like, especially with what I want to do, I definitely want to get out of Kansas too. No, for real. So you'd want to teach just my apologies for not paying attention. So what particularly would you want to teach? Just be like elementary, like K through 12 or like
elementary preferably.
Okay.
Yeah. I've had a lot of experience with the little kids and they're just adorable. They're so much fun to work with. It's always like last week we had Body Venture here at Fort Hayes. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a health exhibit that kind of shows kids like how food kind of travels through the body, shows the different body parts and like how the food kind of provides nutrients to the body.
Yeah.
And so
teach them young.
Yeah.
Teach them young for real.
And so, well, pretty much what I was in charge of was just keeping my group entertained before that. So my main focus is like PE.
Okay.
So yeah, it's just a lot of fun seeing them smile and run around.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
And just laugh.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, no. if I had gone down the music ed route, I would have taught back in my high school choir easily, 100%. I mean, it's just like that room alone grew up in for 4 years, and it's just like I was just so attached to it. I would have easily just done high school choir.
Like teaching high school choir?
Yeah, teaching high school choir. Like, I'd be the choir conductor, and maybe I'd even teach some, like, basic theory. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I as a composer, you just have to know theory at this point.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. If I were to teach, it would definitely be at the high school level, just because...
I don't really hear a lot of people say that.
Just me personally, I was just more motivated in high school. And I just feel like a lot of students become, you know, at that age, at that teenage age, they'd start... Some can begin to realize what they truly want to do if they're driven by it. And I would 100% be what my choir teacher in high school did, which just literally motivate me every day, you know. But I obviously wouldn't, like, pick and choose particular students.
Yeah.
But that comes with, you know, with the work ethic, you know, that those students bring. I think I definitely would have taught at that high school level because then – if I would have had, say like Billy, for instance, when he was a freshman, he would go to contest and he would score a one at regionals, but then he would score a two at state, which that wouldn't have got him like a one, obviously. Mm-hmm. but he was so like motivated and driven by the pieces that he took. That he wants to do it again. Like, that's the type of thing that I would have done, was to inspire these students to continue to sing. Because really, like, your voice really does mean something. You're not taking choir as an art credit. You would have not done that in my book. Absolutely not. Like, yes, it is an art credit. But after that first year, I want you to take that away, though, as, like, this was fun. I learned a lot from this. Mm-hmm. I want to do this again because, I mean, hell yeah, my teachers, I'm just kidding. I want them to just take away the fact that music has a lot more meaning than just the beats, than just the instruments, than just, you know, the plain lyric. No, it's everything about it, you know, and especially with choral music, you know, you get text. You actually get text. You actually... get to follow along with a story. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, instrumental music, 100% a story. I mean, like, it's through the composer. But with just that text, though, I would have definitely done that with high school students. So, yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, awesome. And you're right. I know a lot of people don't really choose, you know, high school as their primary, you know, teaching.
But I feel like that's a good reason to choose because, like you say, like, a lot of students start, like, discovering themselves and kind of. discover what they like and what they want to do. So
yeah, and like I have some music friends that are actually teaching high school right now, which I actually might have one of them end up being on the show just to talk about that.
Oh, there you go.
I think it'd be cool to just sit down and talk about that teaching side. The one thing I hope to not take away from that is the fact that I really should have taught. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Like, with my degree, I definitely could still teach, just not at that level. I could probably just be like a graduate assistant or something. Like
yeah.
That. But no, I'm very passionate about writing. I really am. But I feel like this whole entire podcast has just been talking about me. But I'm literally just. but this is the point that I want to get across to the audience here that's listening. Is that like these conversations? You know, they're. These are the things that I really take away, Tarius. These are the things that I take away, and this is how I make connections with people. Is I sit down and just talk with them about life. Like, literally, like, I love talking with people just about anything, you know, really. I mean, like, we didn't even have to talk about the things on my list. But, you know, it's just that I love to just sit down and talk with people that I can relate with but also people that I can't relate with, because then I can get perspective.
Yeah.
And so I absolutely love getting your perspective about wanting to teach, because it's like I had that and then I threw that out because I knew exactly what I wanted to do and that was right. But, you know, the whole point of this podcast from here on out is to just sit down and make those connections with the people that I interview with, or I have just guest topics with, you know, say if I wanted to hop, you know, Ariana on the podcast to talk about Ariana for real. hop on just to talk about anime or something.
I like to be a great host, or I guess not host, but a great guest.
No, well, honestly, dude. Anime on Walmart. If we had a Walmart podcast, dude, we would be feral. It would be so bad. Oh my goodness! But no, for real though, like that. That's just what I want to take away with this show, is to, you know. I'm not going to prioritize like monetizing or anything. Like, I just want to have fun. Talk with people, sit down, talk with people about things, because it's like you don't get second chances sometimes in life with this stuff. So
I feel like we're so busy, we don't really have time to like sit down and talk with people.
Exactly. And the fact that we decided to do this at like nearly 8 o'clock, you know, past school hours, it's fine. Because it's like, I'd rather commit my time to stuff like this than commit my time, honestly, nowadays to like playing video games, because it's like, and to which, actually, as a matter of fact, that's something we should talk about while we're still here. I just lost my train of thought. What were we just talking about? Anyways. Talk about video games.
Video games.
We love Call of Duty. We've talked about Call of Duty. We love Call of Duty. We specifically talk about Cold War. What's your favorite part about Cold War?
I grew up playing Black Ops 2.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That was kind of like my favorite Call of Duty game ever.
A lot of people
probably still is. Black Ops 3 was all right. Black Ops 4. Trash.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I said what I said.
Not there for real.
And then I also played some Advanced Warfare, Infinite Warfare. Those were all right. I really only liked Advanced Warfare for the zombies because I think that's when they introduced the XO.
They introduced like XO and the double jump, like jetpack, basically.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, that was so useful during zombies. But multiplayer, I feel like it made it freaking impossible to like get any kills. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe I just sucked. But I don't know. I like Cold War because it's just like it's very similar to Black Ops 2.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, very, yeah. Obviously very more fast paced.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like the tactical sprint has really changed the game a lot, especially with new Black Ops 6 coming out. With I've already played the beta.
What did you think about the beta?
It doesn't feel like Call of Duty.
It's so fast paced.
You know what it reminds me a lot. Of a lot of people are gonna like punch me in the face for this, but it reminds me of you don't know this game. It's literally the complete ripoff of Call of Duty called Combat Masters, and it's a game that's on PC and mobile. And if you've played it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The movement in this game is the exact same. I blame myself for this because I'm playing on PC. And I'm not used to playing Call of Duty on PC. Like, literally, like, keyboard, mouse. Mm-hmm. Never, like, I've always played on PlayStation. So the fact that I'm making this switch now to PC, I mean, it's a complete game changer now. I can play in both. Like, literally, yeah. I can play both controller and keyboard, mouse.
I've heard PC is easier to play on.
A lot, just because if you have a good eye and if you adapt your sensitivity very well to how your arm moves with the mouse and everything, mm-hmm. and you adjust your key bindings to the most comfortable that you can, you know, obviously keeping WASD for, you know, up, down, left, right.
Yeah.
But I think for Call of Duty, a lot of people just prefer controller just because it's – a lot of people just say, like, it's meant for controller. Mm-hmm. But me personally, like, I've adapted really well with playing – with playing Call of Duty on PC because I play a lot of Valorant, which is like very, very tight game. Like you have to like not move and shoot in order to even get a hit marker or for the shot to be precise. So like say if I have like a I'm gonna get really nerdy here. Say if I have like a Vandal, which is basically the AR in Valorant, it's a one tap in the head.
Oh.
And you have to like almost not be moving for it to be even that precise because you crosshair has to be right on the head,
mm-hmm.
you know. And once when you get the precise, you know, image that you want for that headshot, you click it once, you know, cannot be moving, like cannot be moving your body at all. Click it, tap, and then boom, dead. You cannot be moving and shooting, like, you know, like in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Like you can't be like aiming and moving at the same time. I mean, some guns, that there's not a whole lot of limitations to, but, like, mm-hmm. a lot of people use that gun, you know, the Vandal in particular, to just get those one-shot, one-kills, and you have to be very precise. This game is very precise, very, very stingy, very just
sounds
so tight.
Intense.
It's very intense. No, it's very intense, dude. I sweat every time I play this game.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but it's fun, though. I play with some fun people. But going back to Call of Duty, though, for real, though, like, I absolutely love Cold War. No, definitely. I think it's... my top three Call of Duties, 100%. Mm-hmm. Black Ops 3 is my number one, just because that's the one I grew up on the most.
Okay.
Like, that's like my most nostalgia. You can ask, any of my friends from Salina. Literally, Black Ops 3 is like all time, like one of my favorite games,
mm-hmm.
because that came out during that was 2015, so that was eighth grade for me.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 23.
23.
Yeah.
When do you turn 24?
In July.
Okay, so you are older than me.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Man, I've been here too long. This is my fifth year, ladies and gentlemen.
It's okay, it's my sixth.
It's okay. But right. We're here. You know,
We're here.
It's our education.
We're getting our stuff done.
Exactly.
We're getting ours.
But anyways, like eighth grade, just playing basketball with my friends. Playing Black Ops 3, like it's just like that's like nostalgia right there, and like mm-hmm. longboarding, like all three of those things together just combine like my childhood,
yeah,
of like pre high school, and those, in my opinion, that year was just like my favorite year ever because it's like found my inspirations, found things I love, and that's a whole other story. But Black Ops 3 is like my favorite just because of. I love the way that you can create an emblem, but it gets a little crazy sometimes because people put some very explicit things on there.
People are very, very creative, to say the least. Very creative.
No, yeah, for sure. And I love Dark Matter camo.
The Galaxy one?
That's like the Galaxy one. Yeah. I will take, and this is just me, I'll take Treyarch games over Sledgehammer games or Raven games any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Treyarch over Modern Warfare games. I just don't like Modern Warfare games just because it's like I don't see the craft in it like Black Ops 3. Because like in Black Ops 3, there's actual fun game modes,
mm-hmm.
like Uplink, which is like this. It was like basketball kind of. So it had like the orb up in the middle, and you'd go to the middle and take
the
ball.
Like,
get the ball.
Go ahead. No,
you're good. So you get the ball and they have to run to the enemy side and like literally throw it into the massive orb, or you just dunk it into the orb.
Oh yeah, I think I played that a few times. Yeah, that's like pretty fun. Yeah,
I know, and just like which makes jetpacking, you know, a lot more fun in that sense. And
forgot about that.
Yeah, no, yeah, dude, that game was so fun. I think Uplink would have been a lot better if they didn't have assault rifles, like if they just did melee weapons only for that. Because mm-hmm. like with the but also it still worked, but
yeah.
but yeah, like they had Uplink, they had I mean a lot of the other games too had this too. I mean obviously, you know, they had like Infected and then like
I love Infected.
Yeah. But what I loved what Cold War brought was Prop Hunt. That is you didn't know about that?
I don't think so.
Dude, what? Dude, that was like one of the best parts of Cold War.
I'm going to start playing that now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's permanently on there.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no. And Cold War, like other game modes, is what I'm going to talk about next, is like literally Prop Hunt was like the thing.
So much fun.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you absolutely have to play it, dude.
I remember my first time playing Prop Hunt in a game was in Black Ops 2, but like it got a little bit older, so there was a lot of hackers in the lobby.
Oh yeah.
Almost every match was like Prop Hunt, but I had so much fun. Like mm-hmm. I'd be laughing, like cracking up every match.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I did not know that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm gonna go have a blast.
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, dude. You should definitely play it. It's definitely worth it. Definitely worth the go. Yeah, and like another fun game mode that I really liked that they brought to Cold War was the 2v2 tournament, where if you won the tournament, you got this like gun blueprint. Uh-huh. And they still do it to this day. I remember playing it like a month ago, and they still do it. And also Sticks and Stones, which is just like melee and like special weapons like crossbows and stuff like that.
I think I played some of that in Black Ops 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. They definitely did that with like a ballistic knife and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, just like those game modes right there, that's what separates Treyarch from the other company, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is the fun game modes. Because I want Call of Duty to be a fun game. Modern Warfare 2 and 3 was not fun. It was competitive. I'm tired of the competitive scene. Can we just have fun?
I never...
Seriously.
I think I maybe got Modern Warfare 3, like... I can't remember when, but I got it. But it never really captured my attention. Like, it just wasn't fun. Felt too serious.
It did, dude. And it's like the sole purpose of why I got it is because one of my friends who I hadn't played games with in a long time got it, and my other friend was like, "Dude, hey, so and so got it, so you should probably get it." I'm like,
"Might as well."
I was like, "Well, I don't know." I was like, "It's just a DLC of Modern Warfare 2."
Yeah.
I was like, "It's just different maps and different guns, man. It's like it's not gonna feel any different." And he was like, "Oh, dude, it feels so much faster." It does not feel any faster than Modern Warfare 2, bro. I'm like, it's Sledgehammer doing their worst. Literally. I'm like, bro, like, come on. But a lot of people disagree with me, and that's totally okay. I'm very biased about the things I like. But, yeah. I just hope Black Ops 6 is... if it's not like, you know, like BO1, BO2, or BO3, mm-hmm. at least make it like Cold War, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I felt when I was playing. A little bit of Cold War, at least. I try to imagine myself like I'm playing Cold War, mm-hmm. but with how easy everything felt, and with the new mechanics of like, you know, gliding backwards and shooting, you know, with
I
all
really
these
like
new
that. That's a lot of fun.
With all these new tactical movements and stuff, it's definitely something to play around with.
Yeah,
100%. I think it's just getting used to them. Just getting used to them, and like I feel like a lot of people will probably play the same that they've always been. Like if you were to play a game like it's Cold War without all those crazy movements, you could still do a lot. Like 100%, you don't have to implement the new techniques that they've put in to be a great player.
Yeah,
but overall thing, man, is I just want to have fun with this. I just want to have fun. You know, please bring back some fun game modes. Please bring back some fun memories of, like, the previous Call of Duties.
Please.
You know, of the previous Black Ops, more so. You know, just just make it fun again.
Like, yeah, I agree. Yeah. I'm with you there.
And you can, and yeah, sure. A competitive scene is one thing. Black Ops 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 5 all had competitive scenes to it. But, you know, it's not the way that we see it now where it's like we have this whole ranked system. And, my God, I don't want to do Battle Pass anymore.
I don't even know what the ranked system is in Cold War. Like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm Prestige 5, but I've also seen, like,
oh, that's prestigious. I'm talking about like actual like ranked gameplay that was in like Modern Warfare 3 and 2.
Oh, like league play kind of?
Yeah, like league play.
Oh,
yeah,
I never
that's ranked play for me.
I never touched that.
Yeah, no. No. Me and my friends, we tried it once. We got to like silver 4 or something, 3 or whatever. I don't know. But
that's not bad.
It's not bad, but it was just like, dude, we'd get upset at each other. I'm like, guys, this is not the point. I'm like, come on. I was like, I don't want to play this anymore now. Like, you guys are ruining.
Those are like for professional gamers.
Oh, yeah, literally. Like, if you want to invest your time into it, if you have a lot of time in your hands, and if you want to get professional with it, then do it, man.
Yeah.
Seriously, like, that's about the only way to shine nowadays is if you're competitive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I wish a lot of content creators would, you know, try and get more involved with the fun side of it.
Yeah.
And try not get so competitive, but that's also what a lot of people want. You know, ways to improve their gameplay so they can have fun. You can have fun without being good, you know. You just gotta look at it a little differently.
Yeah,
it's the honest truth. But
It is.
Well, man. Honestly, I think that honestly does it, dude. I think we had a great conversation.
I think so too.
I'm so glad I got to sit down and talk with you, man. Like, seriously, like I've been thinking about this day for a while, but sitting down with some people that I've always wanted to talk to, and you were just one of those people, man. So seriously, thank you for making my night, and thank you for being the very first ever guest on this podcast.
Woo!
That I hope will continue to run for as long as possible. So
thank you for having me.
Absolutely, man. So on that note, thank you all for listening. And if you would like to consider following me on social media, that is Nathan J. Weiss, NathanJWeis. On Instagram, for I will be posting more updates soon for the next episode, and also following some other social media platforms that I will also be making for the podcast. So for in the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram. Once again, that is Nathan, letter J, Weis on Instagram. And ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode. And stay tuned for episodes 2 for... we will be having a music session, listening to some fire music that I want to share with you all. So, Darius, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Do you have any last words?
Come and watch Fort Hays State Wrestling this season.
Woo-hoo!
Both men's and women's. This is the women's first year. Come watch us.
Oh, that is true. That is true, dude.
We have
our
black and gold October 20 something. But home opener November 7th or 8th, both men's and women's. So come
heck
out
yeah,
support.
Man. Heck yeah. So yeah, guys, share this podcast with your friends, anyone here at Fort Hays State University or wherever you're watching this. Good night. Good morning. Have a great rest of your day. Good rest of your evening. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Peace. The Free Minded Podcast is recorded in Malloy Hall, Room 114 at Fort Hays State University. If you would like to keep up on the updates for the podcast, follow Nathan J. Weiss, that's NathanJWeis, on Instagram for more updates. Eventually, we will be creating a social media platform for Free Minded Podcast, and when that is uploaded, we will let all of you know as soon as possible. We will also be opening up a Patreon page to support our creators, because without a little support, the podcast just won't be the same. And I will absolutely love to continue making more amazing and fun episodes for you all. And once again, thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I will see you in the next one.